Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. We are on the 21st episode of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast, and today's guest is amazing. I know that I say this about everyone, and honestly, everybody I have on this podcast is amazing, but for different reasons. And today, our guest, Shannon Tarrant, who is the event CEO for the Elevated Experience, which is a conference that's coming up here in the area in a few months, has so much business knowledge. I was just soaking up everything like a sponge as I was listening to her. All I could think was, Shannon, please tell me more, which is great that she put together this conference that is basically a way where she has curated an experience for you that's going to have so much value to anyone that's a small or medium-sized business owner. But further than that, this podcast has so much good business advice in it. I mean, if you're small business owner, or you have a side hustle, or you're thinking about having a side hustle, or even if you work in an office place and you're just trying to figure out what the next step is, there's so much good information that Shannon shared in this episode. So I know it's going to be a great episode. We are talking about lady bosses today. Like, be a lady boss, see lady bosses, and believe in yourself that you are a lady boss. That is what Shannon brings to the podcast today. And I had so much fun talking to her. And I know you're going to listen to this and you, like, seriously just open up your notebook and start taking notes, because that's what you need to do as you're listening to this podcast. So let's get on to the interview so you're not hearing me babble anymore about how great she is, and you could just go and listen to Shannon. So here's the interview. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. I'm here today with Shannon Tarrant, and she is the event CEO for the Elevated Experience. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. Let's start by you letting us know a little bit about what you do and what the Elevated Experience is.
Sure. So the Elevated Experience is a one-day conference focused on small businesses and all different types of learning, marketing, sales, operations, really bringing in experts in their field. We spend a lot of time picking really awesome people to bring great knowledge and great education to small business owners.
Awesome. Now, you told me, we met before and we talked a little bit about this, and you told me that you had a very kind of specific reasoning why you decided that you wanted to do this conference. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah.
About where this idea came from and why you were like, yes, this is something I want to do?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So small business education is something that my business is always focused on, mm-hmm. is working with people and giving them the opportunities to get in front of really good experts, but a lot of times those consultants cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets really expensive when you're meeting with one person about your branding and one person about sales training. And I also kept going to conferences because I love education.
Mm-hmm.
And the speakers weren't really experts. They mm-hmm. were people who knew a little bit or enough to be dangerous, but they spent more time focusing on selling themselves rather than sharing the information.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just wanted to put together a day where it was the right people mm-hmm. who were willing to give, you know, the small business owner the tips and the tools to actually go execute, not just one idea.
Yeah, and it's so hard as a business owner, especially I think when like businesses live in the digital space, which a lot of businesses now mm-hmm. do, is that people think, oh, it's so easy to get up and started, and you read books like the $100 lean startup and all these types of things, but you don't realize like all the people that go into place for a business who, like, let's just take something that's as innocuous as like just building a website. It's right. not just like building a website. It's a website developer. It's an SEO person. It's possibly a content writer. You know, there's a team going into yeah. that. So if you're going to be that person or think about where you might be able to outsource, you have to go, mm-hmm. okay, what, you have to break it down. Because, yeah. you know, if you built a brick and mortar store, because I try to compare it to that, yeah. right? You're going to need electricity, you're going to need, Absolutely. Maybe plumbing and construction and all those different types of things. Building a website and then all the other pieces that go along. Right. I'm just taking one small section because there's also the financial side and all yeah. those different things. And so it can be overwhelming as a small business.
Well, there's so much information out on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know if it's good information or bad information. Even sometimes I Google things and mm-hmm. realize I opened an article that's from 2014. Mm. Well, a 2014 article on SEO, it doesn't really count anymore.
Irrelevant, yeah.
So you got to make sure you're listening to the right people who stay, you know, in the front of what's going on in the world and in the industry and those things. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to be the master of all things. Mm-hmm. And so it's figuring out as a small business, you know, or a solopreneur, which is yeah. a ton of people at this point, yeah. including myself, mm-hmm. you know, that it's really a one-person show. So you have to figure out where you can get the best help that's going to be valuable and worth the money that you're going to spend on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it goes along with everything else. It's just, and I like conferences kind of for that reason too, yeah. because it's nice to just go mm-hmm. and hear like, okay, this person's putting like really practical steps together for me to learn instead of me going and looking for 20 different articles online and going, which is the right way for me? Can I trust this person? Can I yeah. not? And things like that.
Well, so, and it's actionable info, and you get to meet other people who are similar to yourself
yeah.
when you go to a conference that mm-hmm. are, you know, excited and they're progressive mm-hmm. and you almost create these like alliances and relationships with people. I like to call them accountability partners.
Yeah.
You can call that person and say, okay, well, what did you do? We sat next to each other in that class. And, you know, what have you actually gone and done?
Yeah.
Instead of just learning it, I'm a note taker, but then when are you going to go and actually
Oh,
do
I know,
it?
Right? Like you have like Evernote's filled
Evernote
stuff.
On Evernote with a side of Evernote.
Sure. With like a billion notes of things you could do. Uh-huh. Oh, I know that. Like I have it everywhere too. And so taking those pieces and mm-hmm. also it's nice because then you get like an hour in front of someone mm-hmm. that you're like you said could cost you on a personal level or even if you did a group class with them a lot of money
yeah
and so you're getting access to I know like just in general like I went to a networking event and there was a branding expert there and she kind of gave us like the first step to like what her branding process
right.
is. And that's valuable. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't done it yet, but I still have it. I'm like, yeah. that is not going anywhere because mm-hmm. I want to go through those steps
right.
because there's a lot of value. But she's not going to just post that on the web for anyone to have.
No, it's about, mm-hmm. you know, creating relationships. And mm-hmm. you find people who, especially in small businesses, some people, everybody's at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
There's the brand new person who needs to hear about branding. But somebody else who their branding is on point, mm-hmm. you know, they're ready to hear about, okay, which social media platforms or to hear from the lawyer who says, what does your contracts look like?
Yeah.
And the finance guy who says, how do you read your numbers? I mean, I hate accounting.
Yeah.
So the finance guy is always the one I should go to the most.
Oh,
I have to listen to uh-huh. and read P&Ls and all that stuff.
I know. I was just thinking about that the other day. This morning, my husband and I were sitting at a coffee shop. And he was making appointments, and he's like, oh, I'm adulting today. And I'm like, yeah, I should probably schedule in, like, a kind of admin accounting day
mm-hmm.
because I need to look into some of that
yeah,
stuff. But
yeah.
It's stuff I hate to do personally,
right.
so I put it off and put it mm-hmm. off, even though I know that's an important aspect.
Yeah, and then that might be the area where you do hire the consultant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're good with the sales and the marketing and the whatever,
mm-hmm.
you instead of hiring an employee, the great thing about all of these different companies who provide that service mm-hmm. is They're 1099s. You're not paying taxes. You're not worrying about health insurance for them. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting business model that's the world has really shifted.
It really is. And I talk about that. We've talked about that on the podcast before, too, of kind of saying, you know, figure out where you're an expert in and then figure out how you can build your team around you. Mm-hmm. And now there is so much access to where people are going, like, this is where I'm going to be concentrating my efforts on, that you can do that without right. having to hire the employee.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's enough people who are willing to do work for multiple companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which it is an interesting model that we're developing here. We'll mm-hmm. see, you know, what that turns into long term.
Millennials are changing the world. They're changing the world.
Yeah, so. We sure are. Well, you spent about a decade in the wedding industry, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where your background is.
Yeah.
And then now you've transitioned out. It moved into a business consultant role, and now out of that has grown this idea of the elevated experience.
Yeah.
So what was the catalyst that made you go, okay, this isn't the right type of job? You're working at, like, a company for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I spent 5 years at one company and knew everything I needed to know about an actual wedding and planning a wedding,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know actually how to close the sale, and sales was my role. So mm-hmm. I did a lot of sales training at that company
mm-hmm.
and really fine-tuned all my skills in selling, and then took that to my next level. You know, that company was smaller, so I moved to a little bit bigger of a company mm-hmm. with more opportunity. And it was that company gave me a lot of opportunity to work on my marketing and let me really direct where the marketing would be to pull in the sales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I loved weddings. I read about them. I read every magazine. I was pinning things on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And but after 10 years, you know, I just started to lose the passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those industries you see a lot of the same thing over and over again. Although it's new people,
mm-hmm.
the ideas aren't always the most creative.
Yeah.
And so after 10 years in it, I had just, you know, I started meeting new vendors and giving them tips and working with them and teaching them the things I had learned, and realized that my passion had kind of shifted from business to consumer to business to business.
Mm-hmm.
And said, well, if this is what I'm going to fall in love with and I can help other people grow their business, not just in the wedding industry, but small business in general,
mm-hmm.
you know, small to medium size, if I can take the things that I've already tried and failed at, some mm-hmm. of them, and tried and succeeded at, and teach them that, but based upon what they want to work on, instead
yeah.
of fitting in a box that says, I only do this and I'm only willing to work with you on that. So my mom jokes around and she called me a rent-a-COO.
Oh.
Like, you know, she'll come in and fix things and you just decide yeah. what you need to work on, and that's what Shannon can help you with.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and there's a need for that too, mm-hmm. for sure. Now, what's the process? And it's probably been, I think it's been a while since, how long have you been consulting?
About a year and a half.
About a year. Okay, so you're yeah. still pretty, like, new into the transitional
Absolutely.
Phase. Yeah, you're kind of gone through the transition
yeah.
very recently. What is it like thinking that you want, because this is something I deal with a
yeah.
lot, right? Going, I think this is what I want, and then you go right. after it, and then you go, oh, no, that's not exactly it. And then you
yeah.
have to kind of change gears.
Oh, for sure.
And then you have to retell everybody, hey, I'm changing, this is what
yeah.
I want, and kind of owning it. Because especially when you're, like, running your own business, you kind of have to
yeah.
own whatever it is that you're doing. So you have to, even if you're not sure, come off as sure.
Right. Absolutely.
How internally
right.
have you been able to kind of handle that yourself?
Yeah, it's really scary. I mean, it's scary to, like, you feel like you're jumping off the ledge. And I think that the old school way of thinking of, like, having a business plan and knowing exactly what you want and building everything to get it set up to start is really hard when consulting is what you're looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried that. That didn't really work. So, but, you know, then it became starting to have conversations with people and finding out more of what do they want. So I started being a little bit more broad
mm-hmm.
as to, it's a lot easier to customize. And then of those things that people were looking for services, I started picking out the things I liked to do the most,
mm.
and I started offering them into packages.
Mm-hmm.
So I love ripping apart websites,
mm-hmm.
evaluating them, you know, pro and conning, the good things, the bad things, based upon the customer experience and the branding and the styling and the usability. But I love to do that. So I offer it as a service. Mm-hmm. Designing websites? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Go, you know, I know enough about SEO to be dangerous, but not everything.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this, yeah, where people are coming to me and asking me to manage social media. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
No.
Like I did offer it, and now I'm going, no. I'm not offering that anymore. I could coach you. I could give you strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That feels more comfortable in the right area I want to be in. But doing the actual physical work, no.
But I think I started from a place of yes. Mm-hmm. Like anything somebody asked me to do, mm-hmm, I said, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And or I had an idea. I would go pitch it to someone and maybe do it for less than what I would want to get paid to do it full time. Mm-hmm. But I would try it on, you know, a friend who owns a business. Mm-hmm. And say, well, let me come in and do, like, a sales evaluation of your meeting. Mm-hmm. I'll sit in a separate room, listen, evaluate it. And not that I was harsh, but the information wasn't taken. She felt really uncomfortable with it. So I'm like, oh, okay, next time you give them three things to fix, and then you do it again.
Yeah.
Instead of going through the list of 10, 12 things, mm-hmm, as somebody who just sat through it, they mm-hmm don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So, but I did it the first time either free.
But you, and it sounded really like, cheap. And you sounded like you, especially when you're doing stuff for free, you were offering it to people who would understand the value of,
yes,
what you were trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you're making my head spin. Like, I'm like, oh, yes, those are good ideas.
Right, and those are the people you try. You know, you build all these professional relationships all the way in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, professional in the wedding industry, we joke, I call them frienders.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, not really friends you socially hang out with, but they're, yeah, more than just some vendor you pay.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think of it like you create these good coworker,
yes,
experiences.
Yes.
They're like your co-working,
yes,
friends. You know, like you have your friends that, you know, you go, when you work in a company, you might have like really good friends and, uh-huh, you leave the company and all of a sudden
you never talk to them.
You never talk to them.
Yeah.
I kind of look at some of these people that,
right,
you create these business relationships,
mm-hmm,
for better or worse in kind,
right,
of the same way.
No, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
yeah,
no. I had one who was like, no, but we're friends. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm not really friends, but that's okay. Like, not my definition of what I would consider a,
yeah,
close personal friend. But going to those people that they trust you, they know you're an expert,
mm-hmm,
and trying out a service with them, it's a lot less scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first started public speaking, I started at the Girl Scouts, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to a middle school, and then went to a high school, and then volunteered back at UCF where I graduated from. And, I mean, they're kids. So, you know, it was a great place to hone my skills.
So you're basically saying it's all about just trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
You try something. Does it,
yeah,
work the right way? No. Okay, I'm going to.
Right, but you just can't beat yourself up. You try it and say, okay, well, that was good, and making sure that I'm a big plus, minus, plus at the end. What was the good? What could I have done better? And then always finish on the plus. Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I are probably in a similar place within our businesses, because,
yeah,
I've been full-time by myself for almost coming up on a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a little bit,
yeah,
further along than I am as far as timeline.
Yes.
But what you start realizing is there's a certain point where you start going, I can't work on that type of job for that price point anymore.
Right.
And
right,
you start realizing where your value is. Because,
mm-hmm,
at first you just don't know, especially when you're doing,
right,
something new. You go, oh, I don't know what to charge, or I don't know how long,
yeah,
time, or all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start getting to a point where you can look at something and go, that's not worth my time,
nope,
at that price. Because I already have jobs in that price point. I'm already charging customers above that price,
right,
whatever it is,
yeah,
you know. And so then you can go, oh, well, that person wants to work with me, but they can't afford it. And,
right,
you find the value within yourself.
Yes. Well, and it's important to know what, you know, it's important to have the sales backbone to,
mm-hmm,
be able to sell yourself at the price that you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people always say, oh, well, do you discount? I'm like, no, but I value add.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, you know, if the project you're looking for is A, I'll give you A plus. So I'll give you a little bit more.
I love the I don't discount by value add.
Yeah, I
like
don't.
That.
I don't ever discount. If this is the price for the service,
mm-hmm,
you can take something out, which isn't a discount to me,
mm-hmm,
because you're removing things from the service,
mm-hmm,
so I don't have to, so it's less time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll usually value add something that is not either it's already established or I've already done it or it doesn't take me a lot of time
yeah.
to make it a better value
for But them. It might be value, but you know it will be value to, yeah. valuable to them even though it's not something that's time consuming on your end.
Right. Even if it's something that I've already done, like mm-hmm. it's, you know, a website evaluation doesn't take me a ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do like the basic one.
Yeah.
So I'll offer a basic website evaluation covering 5 categories, grade it, and give you a few tips.
That's a really interesting way to think about it because I kind of do that too when I give someone a proposal,
right?
I'll go, if this price point isn't where you want it to be,
right.
let me know because I can change things around.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can take out this one thing or, and you right. know, and I can say to you, well, this is where I think your time is best spent.
Yeah.
Based on what you can afford or things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and it's really hard, but you have to get really ugly in consulting about what's your budget before we start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really have to get clear because before you even put the proposal together
mm-hmm.
of what you think they need,
yeah.
if they're thinking $300, $500 and you're thinking like $2,000, $3,000 over 3 months, you know, it's terrifying. They disappear and then don't answer.
Yeah, and then they're scared and they're like, and they don't know what to tell you. And I mm-hmm. think that that's a really good advice for anyone that's in these service-based industries
yeah.
where you're providing services to people, is that there's services at every different price point.
Right.
You know, and right before this meeting, I was talking to you about something where I kind of had to break down the cost for the person and
right.
say, this is how much time it would take to do this, and this is how much money you want to pay, and this is what my hourly rate would be, and I just don't work for that price
no.
point.
No.
I just don't. But if you want to do it this way, I can do this. It mm-hmm. gives you a value, but then you have to do a lot of the more work that goes along with it.
Right.
You know, like, I it's more hands-off for me, but I can give you more of my experience and knowledge
uh-huh.
and
yeah.
you have like a direct person to go to instead of
right.
spending 2 hours on the internet trying to figure out
yeah.
the right way to do something.
Yeah, and yeah. I think the budget challenge is what really drove the conference.
Mm-hmm.
That so many of the clients that I met with, like, they need it so bad, like
mm-hmm.
what I can give them, but they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, how do I at least take what I'm passionate about, which is helping people grow their small business from sales, marketing, operation, whatever they need,
mm-hmm.
and getting them that education without breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, well, let's, you know, launch something new and try it. And mm-hmm. let's see if, you know, for $375, you can go in
yeah.
and hear from a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like one of my base packages. And
mm-hmm.
instead you can learn for a whole day.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
So that's how the whole thing circled around into, well, how do I get them in front of the right people?
Mm-hmm. And I think for you and I, we talked about this too a little bit, is like, as you're growing your business, one of the ways that you can get yourself to the next income price
yeah.
point or whatever, where you can say, okay, I can't afford to do these types of clients.
Right.
I'm now at this next level up,
uh-huh.
is to figure out something that takes less time from you,
right.
where you can offer something at whatever that price point is.
Yeah.
That maybe, and maybe it's putting together some type of course
mm-hmm.
or having a less expensive version of
yep.
whatever the product is. But it's like, how can you get out of this so you then have a different stream of income?
Right.
That you, almost like, how can you create a passive stream of income
yeah.
with that base level? So now you have the space
yes.
to not go after those smaller clients. You can have the space to work within your business and go after the next,
mm-hmm.
you know, price point of clients based on your experience. Because that's how you slowly start building your
yeah.
business.
And I, you know, I'm a firm believer and I've always loved the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll find anything I can, you know, I have a mentor package
mm-hmm.
for some people who are new in the industry that I'm like, you can't afford me, but we can get together for coffee once
yeah.
a month for X, and we can just brainstorm. I'll just brainstorm with you for an hour a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, because that new guy, 3 years from now, is going to be the guy at the top of his game because
mm-hmm.
other people will have left. And so I always try to make sure that if I see value in someone and, like, the hunger that I had and, you know, they're willing to work for it,
mm-hmm.
and we do it for a month, and if they don't come in the next month saying, here's the checklist of all the things I
yeah.
just did because you motivated me and we brainstormed it,
mm-hmm.
then I don't do it again
because mm-hmm.
then it is a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and seeing people grow and making sure that as much as you make room for the really big client, you know, I try to remember the entrepreneur.
But you're also,
money,
you're also
you know?
Being, you're also for yourself going, I need to be more selective about who the right person
yes.
is at that
so
level.
So you don't just do it for everyone.
So you're not just doing it for everyone. Because that's one thing I've learned is someone, you do something for a discount price or for free for not the right person,
uh-huh.
and then you're the one suffering the consequences.
Oh, because they complain or they tell other people that they're not happy with it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a service or a product or whatever, mm-hmm. when you discount it, they expect it to be, it's like worthless to them.
Yeah.
So they don't value it the same.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Is how do you really let people know that what you know is worth something? Because mm-hmm. I think everybody has something that they know about that right. has a value to it. Mm-hmm. Now you have to figure out how do you present that in a way yeah. to get the money or right. and that, prestige every, or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
That's every service and product.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, in the wedding industry, even if you're a florist
mm-hmm.
and you've got 10 years of experience and you've gone to school and you've mastered all of this stuff, you know, so you're charging a higher price point than the guy who charges 10% above cost.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create that value mm-hmm. in your brand, in your being an expert? Because that's how today's buyer buys.
Mm-hmm.
They buy based upon, you know.
Perceived value of what uh-huh. it is. And I've talked about this with, like, other marketers and stuff. It's mm-hmm. like, what does your website look like? Does it look like you're a company that can sell?
Right.
Whatever it is that you're trying to sell at uh-huh. whatever price point,
uh-huh.
you know, because
perception
is reality. If someone right. goes on and goes, I don't think that this is a real business and that we'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then you just lost an opportunity because what do you think if I did this or what would mm-hmm. you want or all of these different types of things and just asking people like, what is it that you're actually looking for?
Yeah. It's,
where do you see
I
there's
mean,
a hole?
They're pretty honest and yeah. they'll tell you. And if you develop a product or a service or a program about what people want to know, then, you know, or sometimes I ask a question before I'll do a Facebook Live and mm-hmm. say, what do you guys think about this topic? Because if nobody replies, then I don't do it. Like, because exactly. no one's going to get on and listen to it.
And everyone thinks that they have to put stuff out, but then they're not listening to the feedback they're getting from other people.
Right.
What's hitting with people and what's not.
Yeah.
It's funny because I hate doing the analytics side. Oh. Like I can,
don't
but
we
it's
all.
Not. Well, right. I know someone who they started a company where that's specifically what they do.
They read all the analytics
they
and tell you what
read
it says.
All, I was like, oh. I have it all set up.
Oh,
I have
God.
It just like doing the data capturing.
Right.
I look a little bit, gives me a little bit of idea, but I'm not really doing like the really hard digging.
Yeah.
And she gave me some suggestions of maybe at the end of the year we can sit down and you know, she's selling
right.
me into, like, the idea. And I was like, no, that's probably a really good idea.
Yeah, because if you did it twice a year, mm-hmm. you know, you're getting feedback on your own business.
Yeah, and then it's looking and going, okay, what, especially for the blog, what posts are working, what won't, uh-huh. aren't, you know, what's bringing people in.
Yeah.
And then do more of that, because
yes.
that's what you want to do. What's bringing people in, do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And it's, you know, it's important to, like you said, address your community
mm-hmm.
of people and find out. I mean, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, I hate to say it's not rocket
Yeah, 20
science.
People sitting in your house on and off for 3 nights. That's a good sample size.
I mean, they were all in. Like, mm-hmm. It got heated and debating and talking about why that's important to some people and why it's not important to others. And, mm-hmm. you know, and if it wasn't a topic that at least 5 or 6 people were on board, I took the advice of, like, interesting, but maybe it's something I do for something else and not for the elevated experience.
And I think, too, it's looking for the breadcrumbs, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you might tell someone and they're like, oh, that sounds like a nice idea, but it sounds nice, but they're not really invested, right?
Right.
But then you'll tell someone, and as you start just giving a little bit out, right, test the
right.
waters, you'll hear someone go, oh, my God, I love that. Tell me more.
Right.
How can I help? And then those are the people, like, just start keeping a list.
Yeah.
So when you're ready to know what you're asking for, you can go back to those people. You said you're really interested in this idea.
Yeah, and I believe if you're a giver and you do public speaking or you
mm-hmm.
share your information, be it on your blog,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook Live, or
yeah.
you know, on your website, the more you share, the more people are willing to share back with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it creates great reciprocal relationships
yeah.
where it's beneficial for everybody to be a part of it, to say, you know, well, I had a say in that.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. It's more about, it's not being so, because look, you can learn anything on the internet.
No, for sure.
You 100% can. Everybody can learn anything. So there's not like whatever you're doing isn't necessarily proprietary information.
No, not at all.
I doubt there's very few people out there, whatever their business is
right.
proprietary. But if you act like you can't give any of that stuff out to help anybody, even
right.
in little tidbits of advice, you also don't create yourself as an authority mm-hmm. on the subject matter.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people like that, mm-hmm. that you know, go and look up, and I know they're an expert, mm-hmm. but, like, you can't find anything or any kind of information. I know they're considered an expert.
They're considered an expert, but, like, where is the proof? It's just they've built this, and maybe they've gotten to a point where they decided they don't care, but to let you know. But yeah,
but for the little guy, you know, I don't want the guy who doesn't care anymore. Yeah. I don't want to work with the guy who doesn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And for this next generation up and coming, man, if mm-hmm. you don't care, millennials, they won't even talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to care. You have to care mm-hmm. about the giving back and the creating a community.
Mm-hmm. And if you're more, I think, not just as business owners, but as people being more firm with where your values and your boundaries are mm-hmm. and, like, who you're willing to work with and who you aren't,
yeah.
I think over time you'll find less people coming to you trying to take advantage of you, or you're better at weeding them out. I think it also, as especially, we talked about millennials in the past, like, we better learn how to work with millennials, because we're not going, I mean, I'm a millennial,
I'm just outside.
You're on the line.
But I think
you get the value of, like, what they're asking for.
Well, and I think what they're asking for, it's changing the world. So although I'm not considered by my age a millennial, I mean, I buy like one. Mm-hmm. I want it to be fast and easy and quick. I look to see where companies are giving back, mm-hmm. you know, and how they feel about their community and what they mm-hmm. do for their community. Mm-hmm. So they're changing the world, mm-hmm. you know, changing the perspective.
Changing the perception of, they're changing. I look at it as we're going through a paradigm shift in the workplace.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to figure out what it is. And right now, millennials aren't in the power positions as much, but as they get more and more into those, you're going to see workplaces change. Mm-hmm. It's a factual thing that's going to happen.
Yes, and as business owners or people even in small business world, you just have to be willing to shift what you believe or mm-hmm. at least learn enough about where they're coming from to be able to, you know, shift and change. Instead of saying, no, they shouldn't be like that, that doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what are some of the big mistakes that you see small businesses make?
Yeah, I mean, I think they don't always ask for help when they need it or hone in on where they're struggling the most. A lot of people lie to themselves, which is interesting because I'm a really... You either hire me because I'm going to be way too honest with you, or you don't hire me because I'm not the person who's going to let you, mm-hmm. you know, ostrich your head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think people, or when they know there's a problem, they ignore the problem because it's too much work to fix that problem. But then the problem grows and snowballs and, you know, they just hide from things. So, and it's hard to agree to invest in fixing a problem and really figuring out how to find the money. But even with the conference, you know, a few people who I know really well are like, well, you know, I mean, I'm not really sure that I can spend the money. And for those in wedding and event world, if you learn enough to sell one more event this year, the whole entire day pays for it.
So. And I think you need to look at things like that, too. Because that's how I look at things, too. Yeah. Is when it's not, oh, I'm spending money. It's you're investing money and mm-hmm. learning something that might help you make a sale later on.
Yes.
And how much is that sale worth?
Right. But they just look at today's dollars, mm-hmm. and they don't look any further than that. They're like, well, I don't have that in my bank account today. Mm-hmm. And so
I think, not being honest with yourself, I think that's a big thing too. Yeah. I think that comes, especially with business owners, but I think like just anywhere, you know, even in business is you're so afraid to come off like you're as vulnerable, like you don't know something that you almost feel like you have to fake it.
Yeah. Well, there's that adage of fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you don't have to pretend like you're this humongous business because for some people it's, okay, I mean, I recently heard somebody speak, and, you know, she's been in business for, like, a year or so, and was like, well, I did 45 events last year. I mean, I've been in the industry for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Unless your price point mm-hmm. is so low that people wouldn't say no, and that's okay if you're starting out because she's learning and growing.
Yeah.
But to be like, well, I did 45 events last year, how many did you do?
That's exhausting.
Like, well, but you just want to be like... Okay, but if you did 45 events at 200 and the going rate for what you do is 1,200, mm-hmm. don't be bragging about the 45 events.
I think that you totally need to be careful. That's one place where I know I fall into that trap of going, did I do enough work? to justify me stopping today or right. this week or yeah. anything, because we live in this society where we're expected, like, you can only be successful if you work 60 hours a week or right. put in all of that extra time and effort and whatever. But then what is your hourly rate?
Right.
At. And I'm not just talking about entrepreneurs. I talk to this with people who are salary employees,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And setting your boundaries in the workplace, especially from the beginning. And, yes, yes. And saying, my expectation is 40 hours a week.
Right.
If they want me to get on this project, you have to communicate with your yeah. supervisor going, this is where this is going to put me. Because it's right. not okay for them to expect you to work.
No.
60 hours a week unless, on a regular basis.
When you get hired, that's what they tell
it's
you.
It's in the contract.
Your job expectation is that you're going to work about this and that mm-hmm. it's international clients. So you may have to work at 3 a.m. to do a mm-hmm. phone call to China, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever.
Oh, but, and you have to be careful about that because, and you have to ask those questions well to know right. what situations you're getting in yes. when you're interviewing. Because I went into an interview years ago and I worked at a company like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had another opportunity to interview at a company and they never ended up calling me back. And I suspect this is why, because I kept asking them. They're like, oh, well, you come in, you work regular hours. Then you might be expected to call China
right.
and do business on off hours. And we're talking like 10 o'clock at night. You might right. be up really late doing these right. things because they're on a completely different schedule. And I said to them, so if something like that happens, then can I come in late the next day?
Right.
Oh, no, that's not how it works around here.
Right.
And I kept asking questions like that to kind of get, like, the full spectrum of, right. like, where they're telling me, oh, well, we expect this extra work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, okay, you expect this extra work, but then there's no give elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm not willing to do that.
No. Well, and there's a lot of small business owners that don't actually figure out, they don't actually track their time.
Mm.
So they charge for a service or mm-hmm. an event or whatever, and you know, then they don't actually track. And I did that with a client of mine and she ended up in tears and I felt bad, but she was making $2.11 an hour.
Mm.
$2.11 an hour. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my, I'm like, let's just track one start to finish. And like, let's estimate how many times do you text them? Okay, let's give 3 minutes a text, mm-hmm. you know? And we started running through and she was like, oh my God. And I'm mm-hmm. like, so I'm not saying you have to charge more. Mm-hmm. You have to simplify your processes and create the boundaries.
Yeah, like and so because sometimes it is you're learning, so it might take you longer than what you will take
right.
once you figure out
Absolutely.
What the processes are.
Yeah.
But I know that was one of the things when I first started, because when I quit my job, I was like, no more time clock. I'm not going to pay yeah. attention to that. So I was like, I don't want to time anything. But I realized there was value, at least in the beginning, to time how long certain projects were taking.
Yes. Because
then I knew how to price them correctly.
Uh-huh.
At least
Absolutely.
Have a better idea of what it is. And now I'm at a point where I can see a price point and go, there's just no way I can do it at that price point
right.
because this is
how
much,
how long it takes you.
This is how long it takes me and this is how, and I also will say, be wary when you hear someone else say, oh, something that takes you 3 hours is takes someone else one, because you don't know what the quality of what that work looks
right,
like.
Right, absolutely.
Because I've heard that, and then I'm going, oh, my God, is it taking me too long to do something like
yeah.
this?
Right.
And then it makes me freak out.
Right, yeah.
in different, various
like,
ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just know what your process is
uh-huh.
and what your worth is. And then that helps you make the decisions correctly. It's all about you. It's not about what all the other people around you are.
No, and so many people, that's another big small business fail. They spend so much time comparing and Googling and looking up every competitor that offers anything similar to what they do. And then they try to compare it. But you don't know what their processes look like.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just price themselves based upon what the average market price is for the service. And I'm like, but it takes you 4 times as long as if you don't make any money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to spend so much time comparing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're new.
It's so, we get, like, so wrapped up in our own heads.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I know, like, me, I'm sitting here like, that's where I've been.
No, I do, too. You know, in time management for me, you know, I had somebody who started getting me on, like, tasks, and I set myself a lot of timers.
Mm-hmm.
So that I say, like, if I'm going to schedule out my social media,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it for 60 minutes. I set a timer on my phone, I put the phone away, I turn off all my emails so nothing interrupts me.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for 60 minutes and then I stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I know, and sometimes I'm like, holy Lord, do you know how much I just got done?
Yeah.
Because it's nobody texting me, nobody looking at. So managing the time well uninterrupted is huge.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking about that. Like, there's 15 ways people can get a hold of you now too. Yeah. And everyone thinks that they have access to you whenever they want to. Because I think people have started learning, oh, well, emails, people don't necessarily check all the time. They set schedules for themselves. Right. So I'm going to text them or I'm going to send them a Facebook message because I know that will get to them right away.
Yep.
And I, even for myself, as I've grown more in my business and now my business has kind of, my business and my social life sometimes are
crisscrossed,
you know, and people are sending me Facebook messages at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
I'll just have to go, nope. I'm not going to look at that tonight. Nope, I'll deal with it in the morning. They don't need, whatever the answer is, they don't need it right now.
Yeah.
And I, like, I've had to put those boundaries down for myself to keep my sanity.
Right.
And I think the uninterrupted, like, creating these blocks, I'm a big fan of the Pomodoro method.
Okay. I don't know that
which
one.
Is, okay, well, I'll explain this to you and for everyone out there.
Okay.
So it's kind of what you said where you're like, I set a timer. But what you do is it's a method of 20 minutes on, 5-minute break. 20 minutes on, 5-minute break.
Oh, all right.
And you can do as many as you want.
Right.
If you look up the Pomodoro method online, it's like a specific. And then what you are also supposed to do with the Pomodoro method is go, okay, I think, say I do social media. I think the social media is going to take me 60 minutes, 3 Pomodoros, 20 minutes of each.
Oh, nice.
And then you have to, like, try to get it all done in that method.
Right.
So you're always trying to maybe do a little bit better, but it's like, I'm going to sit down. This is uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've scheduled a break in.
Yeah.
And then you could even do like 3 Pomodoros and then a 15 minute break and then go back in and do the 25, 25, you know? So, and there's also, you could do like a 50 minute, 10 minute break, you know, there's different ways to structure it, but the idea is not just to create the space, but then try to estimate how much time it might take in those uninterrupted times and then try to only make it fit into those times based on your estimates.
That's interesting.
And then it helps you kind of, it does exactly what you're doing is figuring out how long it actually takes you to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's important to track it.
Cause it's important to track it. Well, the last question I have for you today, Shannon, it feels like this time just like flew by because there's so much good advice in here, is what is a piece of advice that's stuck with you over the years?
I have two.
Okay.
The first one is, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And my mother has been saying it to me since the age of 4. I had a little sassy tune back then. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the manner in which you say it to someone and the tone of your voice and how you express it. And
mm-hmm.
I think in consulting, although I don't think I really learned it till my 20s, so she said a lot, but I think that, you know, especially when it comes to consulting, it's being really careful with people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That although they're paying you to help them, it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one. Not what you say, but, you know, how your message comes across. And the other one is really just be your true self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked before that sometimes I have a potty mouth and, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes that, you know, some, I have a really loud laugh and, but I try to not change myself. I did a lot of that when I worked in corporate or worked for someone else. I was always putting on the version of myself that business needed me to be. I was always putting on a version of myself that what I thought other people wanted me to be or needed me to be. And now, I realized that most of my clients hire me because I am like that.
Yeah.
I'm blunt and clear and straight to the point. And I don't sugarcoat. I say it nicely and carefully, but I don't pretend like something when it's not a problem isn't a problem.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good piece of advice even when you're going into looking for a new job and you're not starting your own company, is really think about who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah.
And then, especially if you're not in a place of desperation, right? Like,
right.
If we're in a place where you're like, I have to find a job, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're in a place where you're like, I'm ready to make the next move, sit down and really go, what is it? Who do I want to be that I don't get to be in this job,
right.
but I want to be in my next job?
Mm-hmm. And finding somebody who values you for that.
For those aspects of
yourself.
For those
aspects instead of, I mean, I was very blessed working at Mission Inn Resort that the owner, you know, while it's a family-owned property, it's been there for 50 years, I'm a push outside the box. I don't even see a box. There's no box. And, you know, he really let me just fly.
And not everybody's willing to do that.
Oh, God, no. Not at
all. And a lot of people don't want to do that.
No.
So there's, you know, the right person that fits in the right place in right. those types of situations.
And I asked, like you said, mm-hmm. I asked those questions in the interview. Mm-hmm. They offered me the job, and I was like, what if you don't actually do what you say you're going to let me do?
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you I'm going to walk out and quit.
Yeah, and at,
I'm ready for this.
And at yeah. all ages, no matter if you're 22 right out of college mm-hmm. or you're, you know, in your 50s looking for, like, the next, maybe possibly last career transition.
Right.
Know what it is that you want mm-hmm. going into the job too, and yeah. not just about what the job can offer you. Because it when we lived in the recession, everyone it was.
I'll take anything.
And we're starting.
And we'll get paid anything.
And I'll get paid anything. And we're starting to move out of that a little bit, and especially as women, we need to go. What is our value? Mm-hmm. What are we bringing to the table? Because you are bringing things to the table, and you might be bringing things to the table that they don't. Understand why that's valuable right. and you have to understand that enough in yourself to let them know
yeah and finding people that respect the fact that you're a lady boss
yeah
like that you are you know you have the knowledge and you know what you're talking about and you need to be heard mm-hmm. but
and you work in someone, this way and it is a productive way to work and right. all of those and different types of
that's all okay and rewarded and celebrated mm-hmm. instead of well, we don't really want to hear your input.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to find, but
It's
worth looking.
It's worth the effort to look and try to see how close you can get to those places.
Yeah.
So, well, that was all fantastic advice, Shannon. Where can everyone find you out on the internet?
Absolutely. Obviously, I'm on all your regular social media, mm-hmm. Facebook and Instagram. The website for the conference is theesquared.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Elevated Experience. We're giving away a free ticket right now.
Awesome.
So for those interested in, you can jump on theesquared.com
mm-hmm.
and submit for why or nominate someone else for why you're interested in a free ticket. And, yeah, it's really exciting, and it's coming really fast. The conference itself is on August 8th. So it's
okay.
coming really quick.
Is that a Saturday?
It's a Tuesday, actually.
It's a Tuesday,
so it's business day, mm-hmm. which is nice that you don't have to give up the weekend to work.
And, you know, and I was looking at, like, your list of presenters and stuff, and there are some, like, awesome people, and friend of the podcast, Mara Shore, is going to be presenting.
Yes,
if any of you listen to, like, Mara's, she has great business advice,
yeah,
too.
Fantastic. Shore Solutions.
Yeah,
right?
Shore
yeah.
Solutions.
Yeah, she's coming to talk about some great HR stuff, mm-hmm. and, you know, a few speakers coming in from all over, Greg Rolette from Ambitious.com, mm-hmm. and who just motivates you to throw everything out the window and go do it right now. And Shauna Succo, and she's all about, you know, the new.
So you're telling
experience.
Us, sign up for the conference on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Block out your whole day Wednesday.
Block your whole day.
Rest of the week.
Yeah, to just go work on it.
To just implement
yeah,
everything
and
you
come
learn.
Meet some great people who are going to also hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to, you can work together as a team, mm-hmm. you know, to help make sure you actually get it done.
Awesome. Totally looking forward to it.
Thanks. I can't wait to have you there.
Thank you so much, Shannon. And we'll talk to you all next time. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world. And you can sign up for the monthly email list, where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss, and you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.